And, you know, the rezoning and reclassification is not only district-dependent, but UIL-dependent, you know, as far as where you can be put, you know, with the number scheme on the size of schools and also the geographical area. So, once again, it's brainstorming, look at ways to be more efficient with things that could save money. And for athletics, a majority of that would be in travel and transportation. And that's where cost-cutting measures could be by default, you know, just by being closer than we are, because we happen to be in that one area of the state that we're close to no one. And so it's always involved a lot of travel for our kiddos and for our fans as well.
Rutter's already 4A, correct?
Yes, sir. Rutter is in the 4A classification.
And so we're really
talking
about Bryan High moving.
Yes, you know, if that were to happen, if that were explored, I think the model to look at that could be mimicked would be much with what we do with our middle schools. Bryan ISD has four middle schools in our town. College Station has two, with A&M Consolidated and College Station Middle School. And then you look at the people we play in those, it's each other plus Brenham. You might drop in a Waller game. And so when you're looking at a geographical area, 4A is a much more travel-friendly area with proximity to get eight teams in your district or however many the UIL would put in. There's quite a few between Bryan, anticipating what College Station may do. You can never say they won't be 4As in the future. Not sure what their plans are, but you do know Brenham's a 4A, Montgomery High School's a 4A, you have two in Magnolia right now, and Tomball has two 4As. So, you know, a number of teams that can be involved in district play through realignment that are well within an hour of the Bryan College Station area, as opposed to 2 hours and 20 minutes to Copper's Cove.
What kind of money is being projected in savings?
I think 50% easy. I mean, when you're looking at travel and you just look at the mileage and what buses cost, I think 50% of our travel cost, whether it's a bus or a meal that we feed the children, I think you can say that we'll save 50% in that area alone. From gate revenue, that's to be determined. But, of course, when you play more games in town, you make more money. And, obviously, without having to possibly rent facilities, I don't know if we'd have to go back to Kyle Field, because all this could change with crosstown showdowns and all that. If you have four local teams in the future, if that's ever in the plans, that you end up having four in town plus the others, then gate revenue is going to go up quite a bit as well for all your contests throughout the year.
So reducing travel costs 50% would mean what, based on last couple of years?
We were thinking we could probably save, if it was one kid per trip per sport, like minimum they only played one thing, building off of that, we're probably thinking anywhere over $50,000 plus. I don't think we'd exceed 100. And that depends on your participation, how many kids are in the sport, you know. And we didn't go back to hard numbers other than the fact that this is what it costs to take a bus to a particular site, whether it's the 5A or the 4A district. This is basically what it would cost to feed a person, you know, one meal a sport. And so on the low end, you know, we were coming up with numbers that if travel just for one trip in the major sports, not all sports, but I would say, you know, but when you're talking about football, volleyball, your two basketballs, two soccers, baseball, softball, tennis, you know, if you're spending $30,000, roughly $32,000 in transportation, then in a new district with less travel, you'd be spending half of that easily.
And that's half the picture. Then you have a potential, as you mentioned, the gate revenue could go up.
Gate revenue, we make decent revenue. Most of that comes from football season. But then you have to add in all the other sports where you're charging. In most districts today, it's 3 and 2. You could even see your districts possibly go up to 4 and 3 for gate admission just because of the cost of officials, police. All those things go up. You have to adjust a little bit. You just don't want to price your fans out of coming to contest. That, just from middle schools on up, combined to be you're probably near $250,000 right now in gate revenue. Not quite that much. But then when you add in more contests, you know, locally, there's a lot of win-win situation to that, is that more of your folks that can't travel see their kids because you could have more games in town, you know. And some of this is contingent upon the neighbor. You know, I'm not sure what College Station schools will do with their size, but they have been 4A in the past, and they know what that's like. And, you know, today with the budgets and the economies, you just kind of have to look at some things on how you're going to structure your schools. And we sure hate to be hung out into a situation where we're the only person here and we have to travel further, you know, as a 5A school. That's just part of the thought process, is how much would travel go up if you got put into another district and have to start making more extreme travel. So all that's kind of dependent on how the next alignment comes up. You can see more with that. But this is a process. It's a thought process of thinking and a process of doing, if you decide to do it, that would take some time for realignment. Because snapshot for that comes up next fall for the following 2 years. So those numbers for a school district go in the fall of the year where February the realignment is announced, and then you have it for that next 2 years.
You made a passing reference to the number $250,000. Is that the current revenue that y'all are generating?
We make a little less than that. It's over 200. It's not at a quarter, but it's a little under that.
Okay. I didn't know whether you've been able to put.
Yeah, we did put numbers to that. Yes, sir.
So
we spreadsheeted that through a central office with all our gate revenues that we deposit. And so, you know, this is the one advantage that athletics has is we are somewhat self-sustaining. We're the program that can make a little money because of gate admission. So, you know, of the operations and maintenance end of it, with our overall budget, you know, we do provide for a little bit of that, you know. And a lot of other programs don't have that advantage, you know, to actually make some money, to have a little bit of a revenue stream through their program.
But you don't have a crystal ball to what it could be if you went to 4A.
That's hard to say. You know, these are all projections that this could happen. And all we know is we have the ability to make more and to spend less. And where that all ends up comes down to whether or not you bite off actually becoming two 4As, maybe having four 4As in town in the future, always a possibility, with your neighboring schools. And like I said, it's kind of like our model of middle schools. We just don't have to spend as much money because we travel less. And sad to say, it's going to be harder to schedule games with your surrounding areas because with the budget crunch, Houston, Austin, Dallas, anybody that you can play will probably start looking at tightening the perimeter of travel. And most of them that way in non-district anyway, is that many school districts will not let their inner city schools come further away when there's more options to play in those cities. Here it's hard for a 5A to schedule a 3A in non-district. 3As don't want to do that. And so then you're looked at not playing the teams you're at within district, so you can't play those people, so then you have to find those that will. And that's why non-district many times for Bryan schools and probably College Station too are very difficult, because you've got to buy somebody that will play you.
The other piece of the puzzle would be, how do you reduce the enrollment at Bryan High to fit into 4A?
I'm sure that'd have to be a rezoning to an extent. When you look at the four middle schools and two high schools here, roughly I think the mid-year snapshot was somewhere around 1,200 to 1,300 kids at Rutter High School, 2,300 kids at Bryan High School. The cutoff for 4A this year was 2,065. That was the bottom number. 2065 and up is 5A classification. 2064 and below is 4A. And so I'm sure that would be like everything else when you're building new schools, and just like College Station is going through right now on the rezoning, is looking at how to look at the geographic needs of change through development in your town, and where one school doesn't grow too big and one school isn't too small.
As you mentioned, Rutter is around 1,300. Can you put 300 more transferring from Bryan High into Rutter? I mean, from a Rutter physical standpoint.
I think from a Rutter physical, their capacity is somewhere around 1,600 to 1,700. I don't have that exact number. I know operations and maintenance has it, but they're around a 16. I think that building was built for about 1,600 or 1,700, so obviously there'd be some changes there.
Well, maybe the stars are in alignment for that to happen then.
You know, more than anything is brainstorming. I think the good thing about difficulties is it makes you think and look harder at the issues, and I think that's healthy because you just don't do what you've been doing just because you've been doing it, and you might have to look at the changes in your school districts. And obviously, we've gone through the changes. It will never be like it used to be, you know, where we had the one high school here in town. We're two separate school districts in the city. And there are some things changing in our culture and through our economy that may bring about change through the way we're structured. You know, and of course, more than anything, this is just healthy dialogue at this point, looking at ways to possibly raise a little more money, save some money. And I think the other thing we haven't discussed thus far is there's some academic issues tied to this. Travel causes a few issues for our kiddos. We have to get out of school earlier to travel and come back late. And when you play in a smaller district, the benefit is leave class later, come home sooner. And I think along with giving your fans a chance to see more games in town, that's not a bad thing either for the parents that aren't able to travel as much. So there are some issues there on the academic end that can benefit our kiddos too by not missing classes and not have to be paying subs for the coaches to be gone.
And then you have the long-studied benefit of continuing to have extracurricular, be it athletics or whatever, and the positive impact that has in the classroom?
Well, I think the thing that we have to do for kids is keep them engaged. And the one thing we've always said, I think, throughout our association, our state, our athletics, believes that we're a dropout prevention program, that we can keep kids engaged and productive doing the things they need to be doing. And I think it is definitely a carrot we want to have out there. We don't want to take it away from the kids. And, you know, we're just trying to find a way not to make it more difficult for kids to participate. But having the two schools here is obviously giving us more opportunities for kids to participate. And, boy, you just want to get to the financial means where you don't cut programs, you don't reduce the size of your teams. You want to give kids the opportunity to participate. And at the same time, just be smart with how you spend your money. But, yes, you know, we want to keep kids engaged in athletics or UIL literary events or band or your drill teams and cheerleaders. You want to have those opportunities around the school for all kids.
Have I missed anything?
I don't know. We just thought a lot. You know, that's the good thing of this from an athletic perspective. It is going to cost X amount of stuff to do stuff with kids. And places we always try to tighten up are on the coaches first, kids second. Kids first, coaches second. And the thing that we try to do is to make sure we meet their needs and to be equipped in the things that keep them safe. And the bottom line is we have to travel a lot. And a lot of our costs are transportation. And for our kiddos, they have to be fueled to compete, and we'll buy a meal, and we try to be cost-wise on our meals, but it's a long time from noon to midnight, you know, with our games and our travel for these kiddos, and some of these meals are the ones that we're providing for their family, so we'd like to have them fueled when they go, and those are probably our bigger cost things. It's not always equipment. It's pretty much going to be getting them there. And getting them back.
I did remember one thing. It was pay for play considered.
Well, I think you have to look at that as a last option, and the reason being the more we pay in fees, we're probably going to cut some kids out. We can look at scholarshiping as well. I won't say that we won't do that, but, you know, in our school district, we're about, you know, 70%+ free and reduced lunch. And so when you start charging kids for that, it gets more like club activities, and club activities do negate a few kids from playing because they just can't afford to do that. So I think that's always a consideration, but it's probably one that we would not want to pursue unless we had to. It would probably be a lot like riffing where you're reducing your workforce. I think through attrition, yes, you'd hate to just not have jobs for people. And I think that's the way we'd be at athletics. We'd sure hate to charge those kiddos and be pushing them out because they can't afford it. But, you know, we'd definitely have to be looking at some scholarships as well. Just try to keep the kids involved. But that is going around the state, and the good thing is we have an AD's conference early March down in Clear Lake, and this is happening around the state. And so in our Region 5, we'll be getting a lot of information from the Houston schools and their surrounding schools about options, different ways of looking at it, and it's always good to get more information.
And how active are your booster clubs and other adult supporters?
You know, we have to look at fundraising more, but, you know, this is a tough place to fundraise. You have a major university here. You now have three high schools, and that will go to four, as well as other schools in our community that are private schools. So our boosters are big. We can raise a little bit of money, and most of the money always through boosters and activity accounts go toward kids only and toward that program. So we get a lot of volunteer help, and that helps us. That helps our budget as well because security you do have to pay for, but when it gets to those running the tournaments and stuff, we have a lot of volunteers out this weekend, all the dads and booster clubs, you know, cooking or running the gates and running the PAs and doing the scorebook to where that saves money and makes a little money for the program. So we try to do a lot of that ourselves. So booster clubs are very active.
Now I think I've exhausted everything in my head based on playing dad and a reporter, among other things. So.
Well, I hope it was somewhat clear because more than anything, it's healthy dialogue right now, you know, and I think you just have to look at what's right there on the table for you if you want to go that way. And the only thing I can say is that since I've lived here and played here myself in Bryan schools, we've always had to endure a lot of travel. You know, way back in the days, we used to play in Cleburne and Corsicana, too, in that district in 4A in the 1970s, the Wacos, the Colleens. We just had a lot of road time. And you get to the playoffs, Region 2 goes all the way up to Sherman-Denison. in this particular area now that we're in Region 2. You get down into Region 3, those 4A's are all Houston-based. So that's closer travel as well. You have to meet midpoint, but even midpoint's closer. So, you know, we're basically dealing with a lot of Garland folks right now, all the Dallas area. And, boy, it just seems like the longer we go, the further we get, you know. And I just hate to get trapped into a scenario where we're having to even put one school out there even further and having less home games, because that would be more costly.